to AWARE. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Yes, I do. I am Lisa Garr, and I do invite you to be aware and stay aware. So great to be with you this wonderful 2019. Happy New Year to everyone. And one of the things that, you know, statistically people do in the beginning of the year is they set New Year's resolutions. Did you know that only 8% of you that you set, that set those New Year's resolutions will actually accomplish them? And most likely, it's because people don't understand how the brain works and how to really fulfill your goals, dreams, desires outside of your normal patterns that did not get you to those goals, dreams, and desires in the first place. You got to rewire things and ignite your brain. And luckily, we have one of the most incredible behavioral and mindset experts that I know, John Assaraf. He's joining me. He uses the latest in brain science to help people achieve more than they ever have before in work and life and business and relationship. He has a new book, which is in my hands right now, called Inner Size, the new science to unlock your brain's hidden power. John knows the secret sauce. Welcome, John. How are you?
Hey there, Lisa. I'm doing great. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I am doing great. So tell me, first of all, we were talking here about people who set goals. Only 8% of people achieve them. What is your opinion on that? Why do you think so few actually achieve what they set out to do?
I actually think it's fewer than 8%.
I'm being generous.
I think to fully understand it, we've got to take just a little deeper dive into the human brain. And we know that, you know, the brain is made up of a variety of different components, almost like a band or an orchestra. And each band member or orchestra player is responsible for a certain instrument. Well, the part of our brain that is responsible for picking and choosing, you know, a goal where we would like to either let go of, whether it's let go of 10 or 20 or 50 pounds of weight, or I want to make more money, or I want to leave a relationship that I'm not happy in, or a job that I'm not happy in. We know that that part of the brain is called the left prefrontal cortex. And it decides, chooses, it makes those decisions. Okay. But we know that if you don't activate a couple of the other parts of our brain, like the emotional side of the brain and the motor cortex side of our brain, the motivational side of our brain and the motor cortex side of our brain, then we don't have our brain working in concert. And so let me give you an example. Or I think you were going to ask a question,
so we can do that. So there's a certain part of the brain that's responsible for making the decisions, but unless we activate the emotional aspect of that decision-making ability, then it becomes more difficult? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. If we, for example, set a goal that we want to achieve, and we take a couple more steps, one being, why must I achieve this goal? So if you ask yourself that question, why must I achieve this goal, and we write out all the reasons why we must versus why we want to or why we should, now we have some emotional capital that we can use to actually drive behavior. And when we get the emotional part of the brain behind what we want to do with why we must do it, now we actually activate the motivational circuit in the brain and the motor cortex. That's part two. And here's the other part that's really critical. A lot of people think of, you know, three or four or five or six different things that they could do to achieve their goal. And when we overload our brain with too many things to do versus small, simple action steps, we actually hit the stress circuit in the brain, or we activate the stress circuit in the brain, and that in most cases will cause us to procrastinate and not take action, or we'll start taking a little bit of action, but because it's too much, we actually will revert back to all of our old behaviors.
It's true. Too many goals does cause more stress. It causes us to feel less adequate, and then the confidence is blown.
Well, yes, and to understand stress in the brain, when the stress is, think of your brain as, you know, having almost like light switches that turn on and off. So when you set your goal and you have a New Year's resolution that you're excited about, you just turn on your motivational switch or circuit. But if it's a daunting goal, if you failed in the past, if you have too many things that need to get done to achieve that goal, and then you activate the stress circuit, then guess what's going to happen? It's like having one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake.
Mm.
And so the key is to understand how to set goals properly and how to activate the right parts of our brain for the right task. And that's what I did in InnerSize, is I created basically a user's manual for how people can use their brains better.
My daughter, who just is learning how to drive, did that the other day. She put her foot on the gas in order to change gears. Guess what happened? She went nowhere, which, thank God, the car does that. But it's true. If you are confusing the brain like that, you will go nowhere, wind up in the same, you know, repeat pattern over and over again. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a wonderful newfound sense of energy. And maybe it has to do with the newness of learning something new, like what you're talking about now. It's all exciting to me. So what in the brain loves this idea of something new in terms of what you teach with InnerSize?
Sure. So one of the things that we know about us human beings is we're a curious batch. And so curiosity is actually tied directly to our evolutionary genes. And so the way we evolved as a species is by being curious. So any loud noise, for example, that's to your left or right or behind you or above you, you're going to be curious to what that is. Why? Because curiosity is tied directly to survival. And so we are always looking for anything that will help us survive, thrive, or anything that could cause us any, you know, pain or discomfort. So we're always curious for survival, but also for evolution and growth. And so whenever we hear there's something, like if you think about, hey, there's a new, more improved blank, we're like paying attention because we already know the old, so we're looking for, can the new and improved somehow help us? And so part of our genetic predisposition in DNA for survival is to be curious about anything that could cause us damage, pain, or anything that could actually give us pleasure and make things easier, better, more fun, et cetera. So we're wired to do that.
Okay, the brain is wired for newness. So new things, new ways of doing something. What is it about InnerSize that hits all these things we've talked about so far? The motivational cortex of the brain, the small steps, and the newness. I'm taking notes, by the way.
Let's go back in time just a little bit.
Okay.
And let's go back to the 60s, 70s, there was a gentleman by the name of Jack LaLanne who realized that food and nutrition and exercise was good for your muscles, good for your internal organs. And that worked, and we know it works. Now, InnerSize is all about building what I call your neuromuscles. So if you think about your brain as an organism, not an organ, it's an organism that's changing, that's growing, that's developing every second of every day. So when you have, for example, a positive thought, you're activating positive neurochemicals that reinforce positivity in your brain. When you have a negative thought or a negative or disempowering emotion, you're actually building that muscle in your brain. And so the more you're negative, or the more you have got a negativity biases, the more you see the world as, you being a victim of it, then you are reinforcing those patterns in the brain. So think about it as reinforcing a muscle that's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So if it's negative and disempowering, it gets bigger. If it's positive and constructive, it's going to get bigger and better. And so inner size is a way to activate, learning how to deactivate stress, activating motivation, increasing awareness, increasing self-confidence and certainty. These are all neuromuscles in the brain that with some mental and emotional techniques that we call inner sizes, you can actually strengthen your key core neuromuscles so you are more confident, more empowered, and that you are achieving more of your goals and dreams. And there's really only a few things that hold people back from achieving any goal in health or wealth or relationships or career or business. There's only a few things. It's not 50 things. It's only about 4 things.
Oh, good. That's helpful. You said small steps are better. Okay.
That's right. So let's say somebody has a, let's talk about New Year's. Okay, New Year's, a lot of people say, you know, I want to make more money. Great. People say, you know, I want to lose weight and get in better shape. Great. So let's say somebody says, you know, I want to lose weight and I want to get in better shape and be healthier this year. There's a part of the brain that goes, yeah, that's great. That's awesome. And you get motivated. But what if you tried this in the past and you lost weight and then gained it back 2 or 3 or 4 times? Mm-hmm. There's another part of our brain, limbic, which is the emotional seat of our consciousness or awareness. What if at the emotional level, the last couple of times you did this, you felt embarrassed or ashamed because your friends saw you losing the weight or your husband or wife or children did, and then they saw you gain it back.
Mm-hmm. And now so you're shame you're, associated.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now there's possibly embarrassment or ashamed or disappointing yourself again that is kicked in by the emotional center of the brain. Well, guess what you're going to do? You're not going to even go on that diet, or you'll try it again very, very, very cautiously and not give it your best effort just in case. And so fear, right? So fear of being embarrassed, ashamed, ridiculed, or judged, or failing, or succeeding and then failing. Mm-hmm. This is the brakes that goes on in the brain automatically, and then people start to procrastinate. People start to rationalize their way out of what they should be doing because the fear circuit's activated. And so inner size is giving people the skill to be able to control and manage their emotions better than ever before.
Okay, so it replaces fear with tools, with techniques.
It doesn't replace fear.
Oh.
It allows you to recognize that fear is holding you back and then how to navigate through fear so that you are in control instead of allowing these reactive subconscious triggers mm-hmm. and circuits in your brain to control your behavior.
So you're fully aware. Okay. So if we look at fear as a warning signal and that this is there and it's to be navigated through, what's on the other side of fear, John?
Courage.
Courage. I love it.
So having the courage, right, to give it your best shot, having the courage to stepping out of your comfort zone and not allowing your past to control your present thinking or behaviors. See, we're either going to be victims of our past and we're going to react in the same ways, or we're going to be commanders of our present and create the results that we want. I want to bring something up that I think will set a really good framework for us, Lisa, and I want everybody to think about this. Do we have all of the how-to for somebody, for example, to increase their income by $1,000 or $2,000 a month if they really wanted to? Do we have the how-to, whether they're an employee or a business owner?
You would think, yes.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yes. Mm-hmm. Do we have all the how-to to eat well, maybe exercise a little bit, and release weight that we mm-hmm. don't want off and keep it off? Do we have the how-to?
We do.
Yes. If somebody wants to start a business and build a successful one, do we have the how-to?
There's enough info out there, yes.
That's right. So there's enough how-to for health, for wealth, for relationships, for career, for spirituality, for whatever it is that we want to achieve for just about everybody that's on this session with us right now. The how-to exists. So by law, or not by law, but by fact, the how-to is the least of your concerns.
That's interesting.
We can find the how-to.
It's out there, yes, yes. Okay.
Right? So the question is, if you want to achieve something, why aren't you?
Good question. Right? Yes, I don't think I know the answer to that.
Right, and the answer is, okay, well, maybe you don't have the specialized knowledge or skill. Okay, so that's number one. Okay, but we could fix that. Let's say the other reason is you have fears. Like I mentioned before, you might be afraid that if you try, you might be embarrassed, ashamed, ridiculed, judged. You might fail. You might lose money. You might lose, you know, self-esteem, self-worth, confidence, etc. So that's fear. That's an emotion. All right. The other one is limiting beliefs, right? What if you believe that you're not smart enough, not worth enough, too young or too old?
Right.
That's a brain construct. A belief is nothing more than a feeling of certainty that you have about something because of the references you've gathered throughout your life.
So it's a combination of fear and limiting beliefs, or is it?
It could be one or a combination.
Okay. Okay.
Right. So that's number three. And then the fourth one is self-esteem or self-worth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you have a goal, whether it's to leave a relationship you're unhappy with, or you want to earn more money, or you want to achieve a goal that you don't feel you deserve, or you don't feel you really can achieve it because you're not smart enough or you're not good enough.
Yeah.
These are all brain-based ideas that we have and paradigms that we have about ourselves and what is possible. And so what I've done in the book Inner Size is really give people an understanding of here are the things that could get in your way, and here are some inner sizes to overcome them. So let's say you had a self-esteem issue. You could do one of several inner sizes that we have in the book. But I think, Lisa, I mentioned to you as well that we have audios that we're giving everybody who buys the book where I guide them through the inner sizes through our brain training audios, and we're giving those away for free. And
awesome.
When you're ready, I'll let people know where they can get them if they want to buy the book.
Yes, so buying the book, you go to the website, which is ignitemybrain.com. Is that correct?
That's perfect. Okay. Yeah, they can get all the information they need there.
Ignitemybrain.com. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit about that in just a second. So I wanted to mention, so I had this theme last year, and it worked really well. And my theme was, if I wanted to create a different result, I needed to try something different. And I approached everything I did last year with that lens of, all right, this is doing the same thing, creating the same result. Let's try something different, try something different, try something different. And I led myself through a series of great decisions that got me to a new point at the end of last year, very happy with the result. So this year, I chose a new theme, and I thought a lot about this and reflected a lot about this in December. And my theme for this year is to value myself higher than I ever have before, because I know how you see yourself is how others will see you. And also what you want to see in the world is what you create, right? You taught this in The Secret.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, John Assaraf, by the way, is one of the teachers, the featured teachers in The Secret, who created the vision board and wound up living in that exact house that he'd cut out of that magazine. Great story. So my theme being to value myself higher than I ever have before, and that means not doing free stuff anymore. That means valuing myself higher so that I get paid more. And those are my themes. So it looks like my path down your Inner Size program is the self-esteem, self-worth path.
Correct.
Right? So I would choose
And you will
that.
Never, and one of the things we teach is you will never outperform your hidden self-image.
Ooh, that's a good one. I will never, right. So there we go. Hiding, playing small, all that stuff that I was doing, have been doing in the past, of not letting my light shine, blinding people when I did in the past, so therefore I retreated. You know, these are all old patterns and results that I've had in the past. But yes, allowing myself to shine, and I'm saying this for all of us, for everyone listening, if you've ever had these patterns of playing too small, putting other people in front of you, all of the, you know, not in an egotistical way, but in a way that you are not serving yourself, then I'm inviting you to play along with me on this year's theme of valuing yourself higher than you ever have before and putting yourself first so that you truly can live your best life, then shine bright and affect and impact the world. And this is our right. You know, God didn't put us here to be mediocre. So I feel that this is a good thing. If anybody's looking for a New Year's goal, I got one for you. Feel free to do it with me. But so, John, going along the self-esteem, self-worth, which I think is at the basis of so many people's reasons why they don't achieve their goals, that self-esteem, self-worth track, how would and what does that look like? Can you share?
Yeah, and by the way, what happens as well is when somebody does better than what their hidden self-image is in their brain, they will maybe succeed temporarily, and then they'll sabotage their success to get back to their baseline. What I want everybody to think about or visualize and imagine a thermostat in your car or a thermostat in your home. And let's say you have the thermostat set at, you know, a nice comfortable 70 degrees. And let's say cold air comes in and the temperature in the room goes to, let's say, 68. Well, as soon as the temperature starts to deviate and change, the heat will come back up until it's 70, or the air conditioning will come back up either way. And so our brain works the same way. So if we earn more money than we are conditioned or programmed to earn, we will actually sabotage and take some time off and procrastinate until we hit the baseline again. If we're in a relationship that we think is a better relationship that we deserve or a worse one, we will adjust until we hit our baseline. And the same is true with businesses and work and relationships, et cetera. And so when we have, you know, a self-esteem challenge where we don't feel like we're good enough, smart enough, worthy, or deserving enough, what we have to do is we have to start inner-sizing by first recognizing that, yes, we have this as a potential challenge or issue. It's a weak muscle in our brain. And so now we take a look at what are the different ways that we can actually increase our self-worth, our deserving level, et cetera. And now we can look at certain behaviors will help increase our self-esteem and self-worth, so we can take some actions to build that muscle, to build our self-worth or deserving muscle. We can use affirmations. We can use visualizations. We can use cognitive behavior therapy, you know, to help us navigate through. There's about 10 different evidence-based ways to do that. And we can start building the self-esteem muscle through our thoughts, emotions, and behaviors. If you think about this, how did you get to having your self-esteem? You weren't born with one.
You had to develop
it. You developed it through your parents, your teachers, your experiences, the books you read, your friends, your siblings, etc. But there are ways to augment your self-esteem and self-worth. Just there are ways to augment your ability to knit or play chess. It's something that you can develop as opposed to something you have to be a victim of. And so a combination of some inner sizes for your mental and emotional muscles, plus behaviors, little ones at first, to augment your self-esteem and self-image that you develop over time, give you in 30 days, 6 days, 90 days, a healthier, stronger self-image and self-esteem of yourself.
See, this is what John is talking about, is the tools that really can get you to that next level. And if you have been doing the same thing over and over again and creating the same result and expecting something different, this is a big clue to you to try something different. What I love so much about John Assaraf's work is how practical it is and how applicable it is to everyone with a brain. You need a brain to do this. But you all have one.
You have a brain. Yes. You already own the tool. You already own it.
Yes, if you have a brain. So here's the deal. If you go to the website I mentioned earlier, ignitemybrain.com, and John is the creator of something called My Neuro Gym. And the NeuroGym is exactly this. It's a whole world of tools that you can be a part of all year, actually. There's year-long programs here that John offers to people to keep us constantly engaged, because we do need repetition. I always say practice makes permanent. So you can be involved. John's world is awesome. It's the world of the NeuroGym. He's created it from ground zero after The Secret, and really provides so many benefits and tools for everyone. And the thing I love about it, again, as I said, is that it appeals to not just women, not just men, everyone, even teenagers. I would suggest that very, very clearly. So you just explained how to go down the self-worth track. Tell me a little bit about the inner size, as I said, the program, what you're talking about on the website, the Ignite My Brain, all of that information. Tell me a little bit more.
Sure. So what I did is I took the world of emotions, let's say fear, the world of self-esteem, the world of limiting beliefs, and I asked myself a question, many questions over many years with many scientists. And if a belief, a limiting belief, for example, is a group of cells that have coalesced or connected and then been reinforced, I asked, is there a way to get them to, stop being activated? Could we create a new road, a new path for our brain to take? And the answer is yes. Then I asked, okay, so emotions, what are they? And we know from all the scientific research and all the brain scan imaging studies that an emotion is a subconscious reaction, mm-hmm. That's reacting to our memory of whatever may be happening on the outside of us or something that we're thinking about doing. So whenever, we are navigating through life, which is every day while we're awake, basically, we have stimuli that's coming in from the outside world. Where our brain analyzes that stimuli in a billionth of a second, and it has to determine quickly, is this something that's dangerous? Is this something that is potentially going to hurt me? Is this something that could hurt me mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially? If there is a reference in our memory bank of anything that we've read, seen, experienced, heard, etc., it fires off the fear center to make us aware. Why? Because the number one priority of our brain, number one, above all else, is safety first.
Mm, true.
So any real or potential danger lights up the fear circuit in the brain. That would be the equivalent of driving your car down the road, and all of a sudden you got a flat tire and a light pops up onto your dash to let you know, hey, something's going on in your back tire. Pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
So fear is nothing more than a signal. But most people have learned that when they feel this unpleasant emotion, and what they're actually feeling is the neurochemistry called cortisol or epinephrine, right? It's there to perk you up quickly.
To protect us,
They don't know what to do with this emotion that they're feeling in their body. And most people do the equivalent of taking a hammer and hitting the light. They try to suppress one of the most powerful signals ever created by, by whoever created us or whatever created us, right? It's one of the most highly sensitive parts of our brains. And that is the fear signal, which could be our go signal, not our stop signal. But most people don't have the tools and have never been taught, here's how I can recognize this emotion in my body called fear. Here's how I can analyze it quickly and make a decision whether I want to go or retreat. Now, there are people in our society that have learned how to do that really well. Firefighters, Navy SEALs, astronauts, they have to learn how to master their emotions. But most people, when they have this emotion that's unpleasant or negative, they want to suppress it. They want to get rid of it. So their understanding of their own emotions is where inner size will help them recognize, reframe, release, and retrain their brain so they don't react, but they learn how to respond.
Okay. All right, and retrain. I'm writing this. Recognize, reframe, release, and retrain. Now, let's take the example of, and I know that you've done a lot in the diet and exercise space, of emotional eating. A lot of people at the beginning of the year always set these goals of creating weight loss. And as we've talked about here, once you hit that fear center or that safety saying, it's no longer safe to lose this weight, we must sabotage ourselves and start eating again the wrong foods. How would you take these four R's, recognize, because I want people to really understand practical techniques as they are here with me during this hour, right? How do they recognize, reframe, release, and retrain when they hit up against sabotage patterns around food?
Great. So when we're talking about food, there's a couple of different things we need to take a look at. Number one, are we dealing with food addictions? So 30% of the population has a food addiction. So the food addiction could be fat, sugar, salt, or flour. Those are the four key ones, or a combination of them. So, for example, I was a sugar addict where I wouldn't eat one cookie, I'd eat eight. I wouldn't eat a piece of pie and ice cream, I'd eat half the pie and half the tub of ice cream. I was 43 pounds heavier than I am right now, 42 pounds fatter than I am right now until I understood the mechanics of what was going on in my brain and my sugar addiction. And as soon as I got rid of my sugar addiction by first recognizing I have a sugar addiction.
Is that also an allergy? I mean, could it be considered a food allergy?
Could be allergies as well. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You can have, nuts, eggs, a variety of different types of foods that are allergens within your body, which activate, different responses in your body, and you're not going to be able to lose weight.
And they seem like an addiction.
Also have,
right.
Absolutely. You can also have, sleep issues that affect your circadian rhythm that increases the hormone leptin in your blood, which also makes it hard to lose weight. So you could be eating well and exercising and not lose weight because of sleep. But when we're talking about, losing weight and keeping it off, and I prefer to call it losing fat and keeping it off, not weight, because most people who go on a diet will lose a lot of water initially and maybe even muscle. There's a big difference between what constitutes weight and fat. And so I much prefer to focus on fat loss. But I want to come back to, the triggers. Willpower is a muscle. When you wake up in the morning, that's usually when you have your highest willpower muscle activation, where you can really stick to something. But because we're making so many decisions during the day, because we have got stress, on our brain, our willpower muscle by usually 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock for some people is pretty much at zero. And so the question is, if willpower is one of the things that you have an issue with by whatever time it is, then do you have any counter strategies for what you will do in those times? So I'll give you an example. My biggest challenge was like at 7:30, 8:30 at night. So I'd eat great for breakfast. I'd eat great for lunch. I'd eat great for dinner. And then like at 7:30, 8 o'clock after my day really wound down, I would go into the pantry or the fridge, and my willpower was like at zero. So I would get all the crap.
Yep, see what's there.
And so knowing that that's my pattern, I changed what was in my pantry and what was in my fridge so that I could have something that was a much healthier choice. That was step one. And I did that for 6 months. And then step two was I just eliminated all of the stuff from my pantry or fridge that I could eat at night. And so now if I want to eat anything at night, I might have a scoop of protein with some psyllium for bulk and some water, and maybe a couple of berries. And I'm good with about 200 calories. That's really healthy for me.
That's a
Instead
great
of
idea.
700 or 800 calories.
Yes, when you have a clean source of protein, that's a great idea.
So part of the key is to understand what are the things that trigger me, that causes me to eat the wrong foods and or binge eat. Am I a binger? Am I an overeater? Am I addicted to sugar or salt or flour, or do I have food allergies? We first have to understand and be aware before we can change.
And you've said that consistently, yes. Yes.
Like I said earlier, we have all the how-to, but if you don't know how to, then you're going to keep repeating all your old reactive behaviors over and over and over again. And so the whole idea with recognize, reframe, release, retrain, or any of the other techniques that we teach is to give you much more control and to give you much better strategies for building your key neuromuscles and for being able to be in control of your behaviors so you can actually achieve the goal that you want to achieve faster and easier than ever before.
Well, you mentioned earlier about this hidden self-image. What about things like hypnotherapy and subliminal programming and so forth? Can you get to those hidden issues?
Absolutely.
As well through the inner self?
Yep. Okay. Absolutely. Earlier, I mentioned a couple things. It's about 8 evidence-based or science-based methods that we know work. And I also mentioned that I have some free audio for people who buy the book Inner Size. Well, in the 8 Inner Sizes, I actually use a variety of those techniques to actually help people access that hidden part or the subconscious part of their brain, which is where the power center is. And that, you know, you and I have discussed this in the past, and we know that that's the power center. But most people are trying to make decisions at the conscious level, but they're not paying any attention to how to get their subconscious aligned with their conscious goals.
Very cool. Now, I did notice one thing is if you are a part of an organization or you have a group of employees or if you really want to get your, you know, family members or people that are in your life, because we have heard this before, that we are the sum of the 5 people we surround ourselves with, and it could be any thinking strategy. And you could probably expand on that a little. Did I get that right? We are the sum of the 5 people we spend the most time with?
We tend to gravitate towards people who are like us.
Uh-huh.
And so usually, you know, we will always gravitate towards people who we are comfortable with.
So if we start to change and other people don't, it starts to threaten the status quo of the people that we surround ourselves with the most, right?
Absolutely. You know, the only human that likes change is a wet baby. And so when people around you, see you changing for the better and them staying stuck, if they don't have an evolved sense of self and of confidence in themselves, in a lot of cases, you know, they'll try to, you know, bring you down. I was just at a party the other day, and I was talking to a good buddy of mine. He was saying, yeah, our friend Amber, you know, wanted to, you know, not drink for the month of January. And I said, that's awesome. Way to go. I'm so happy and proud for her. And less than, you know, 10 seconds later, you know, one of her girlfriends says, come on, Amber, let's have this, you know, Chardonnay. It's, you know, you could do this after this weekend. And I was like, hey, stop that. You know, she wants to have 30 days off. And Amber was 1 second away from grabbing that glass of wine and having fun with her friend. And then afterwards, she came up to me and said, you know, thank you so much for, you know, for catching that, because I really do want to have a month off. I've been trying to give up drinking for years now. And so I thought January would be the best time for me to do that. And so our other friend likes to drink quite a bit. And so she wanted, you know, a playmate. Uh-huh. And so we have to, you know, create the environment, not only in our own mind, but around us, to help lift us up and support the goals that we have.
There's plenty of things to do to relax and have fun that don't involve alcohol. And when you start to get that out of your system, it's amazing the inflammation that goes away as well.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible. I used all of the techniques in Inner Size to stop drinking 9.5 years ago. I used it to lose 55 pounds. I've used it to make more money. I've used it in every area of my life, and it's all based on neuroscience and neuropsychology, just learning how to use your brain better, mm-hmm. And building those neuromuscles so that you have more control and more confidence and more certainty, and that with more confidence and certainty, we can achieve so much more.
And it's not just positive self-talk and talking yourself out of it. This is what I love about this program. It's so well thought out, like all of your programs are. And you really go deep into layers and layers and layers of unconscious patterns and get to the base of the, it's all about awareness. And it's more than just motivation, it's more than inspiration. You're actually getting to the tools and the techniques. And what I was saying earlier is if you do have a group of people that you want to go through this program with or go through the book with, and there's other programs involved with this, there's a 20% discount if you buy five or more books. So you can figure all that out on the website, theignitemybrain.com.
And by the way, the book on Amazon right now is like 10 bucks, 11 bucks. So for people who buy the book for 10 or 11 bucks, or buy five of them for them and their family and friends, they're all going to get the brain training audios that are worth $197. So that's part of our special right now.
Oh, here's a good title, How to Get More Done in Less Time Training. That's one of the things that you're going to get.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, How to Get More Done in Less Time. How do you do that? Just give us a tip, John.
I love the topic because first and foremost, the thing you have to understand is there is no such thing as time management. You cannot manage time. But highly successful people who get a lot done, they learn how to prioritize what we call are the highest impact activities first.
Prioritize it. Okay.
So let's say you have 10 things that you need to do today.
Mm-hmm.
Write all those 10 things down on a piece of paper or on your computer somewhere. And then ask yourself, if you could only do one, which is the most important one?
Okay.
Make that number one. If you could only do another one, which would it be? Get that done. If you don't do another one, which would it be? Get that done. Which has got the highest impact versus the one that's the easiest or the most fun? So if you want to become highly productive, you have to manage what you do in time better. You can't manage time. But most people don't have a process for what they do. They just, they answer emails when emails come in. They are consistently drawn to their texts or to their social media or to phone calls. And they don't have a way to organize and be disciplined with what they get done in time. And when you really take a look at it, there is so much time in a day.
Wow.
But it's exhausting when you're not doing the right things.
To be
and
owned,
it's not productive.
Yes, and to be owned by social media and email is a big problem. That's a big time suck. Huge time
and
suck.
And there's a big difference between activity and productivity. And to be productive, you have to have a process.
Mm-hmm. I sometimes just sit and stare at the email and go, oh my God, there's so many things here that I have to take care of, and I have no clarity on which one to do first and get completely overwhelmed by it. And that's the activity versus productivity. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to ask you about what you were going to say. Do you have a tool or technique for that?
Whenever I look at my emails, I have a folder that goes urgent, and then I have another folder that says do when you have time. So anything that is urgent that I need to get done like today, I just move from my inbox to urgent. And anything that, review when you have time because it's not urgent, I review when I have time.
And do you have time?
And then
do you get to those?
Two half-hour sessions a day in the late morning and late afternoon to review my emails.
So you're not owned by it all day. And
No, I can't be.
Right. In order to get
anything
done.
Just remember, the email is for your convenience. Your phone is for your convenience, not the person calling you or the person emailing you.
And what about social media? I don't know if you're on it a lot, but for people that are, that do... It does tend to take up, it's designed for that, to be flashy and to take up time.
We live in an age where all of the social media tools are created to create addiction.
Yes.
And they're created, they're designed to create addiction. So we want to check, is there somebody that responded to my post? Is there somebody that, responded to my comment? Is there somebody that posted something new that I will be fun and exciting and interesting, because I'm curious? Is there something that, I'm looking for that maybe it's up now? So, this is where you have to have mental discipline and emotional discipline and processes. And if you don't learn them, you will become a victim of them.
So again, back to awareness. I want to ask you about the brainathons that you have. They are, I've always been a part of them, and I've loved being, you know, hearing about the brainathons and what you have going on. Tell us what a brainathon is. This is your, what, seventh annual this year? Exciting.
So because of all the research that we do with amazing psychologists and neurologists and the brain scan imaging experts around the world, we discover new things each year on, you know, how do we overcome the obstacles that hold us back, whether there's, you know, mental obstacles, mindset obstacles, negativity, self-deprecating, you know, behaviors or beliefs or disempowering habits, whatever it is that impedes our ability to live our best version of ourselves. I bring on world-leading experts, and I interview them during the brainathon, and we help people, you know, do more, achieve more, have more, make more money by getting rid of the obstacles that are holding them back. And so we introduce people to some of the best scientists in the world, the best tools and techniques. It's free. It's on a Saturday that people could sign up for. And then we introduce people to, you know, one of our killer programs is Winning the Game of Money that we introduce to people. And we help people make more money so they can live a better lifestyle, a greater lifestyle.
It's a fun experience, too, to listen to all these great experts pour into you for the day. And you can watch it over. And it's really a fun program. And because of, you know, the seventh, it's the seventh year because you've been doing this for a long time and really perfect it every single year. I've been to your fabulous office space down in near San Diego. And you have a huge staff, and you have, you bring this energy into our, you know, our own computers, which is fantastic. That really ignites people and allows them to, at any time of the year, it doesn't have to be the beginning of the year, at any time, to turn on that as that new switch, that new neuroplasticity that gets to get created over and over again. That's the one thing that we have with our brain is we are in charge. We're the ones that are in control. We can start it over, reset at any time, which is great.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned this word called neuroplasticity, and the easiest way to just think about it is, remember earlier I talked about, you know, exercise. Jack LaLanne brought exercise to build your muscles. You could start walking and build your leg muscles, or you could, you know, do some bicep curls or some push-ups or sit-ups and build your muscles within your body. Well, neuroplasticity is the equivalent of what's happening in your brain. When you do certain things, you create or reinforce a stronger pattern in the brain. So if you only, if you thought of your brain as a muscle and there are different muscles that you could build, it goes back to you could build your confidence muscle. So if your confidence muscle is weak, you can build it. If your self-esteem is low, you can augment it. If you have limiting beliefs that are muscles in your brain, you could deactivate those and atrophy those and create new powerful ones. And that's just the simplicity of what I've done in InnerSize is here's how to do it. And not only here's how to do it, but as I mentioned, I'll walk you through it in the audios that you're going to get for free when you get the book at ignitemybrain.com. And you'll be able to build those strong, powerful neuromuscles that'll help you achieve your goals.
Yep. As I was saying, I mean, this basically is for $10 when you buy a book, you get all of this great information that can help you understand and learn more about the brain and what's it, what its functionality is. Cool thing is that there's new scientific research that's coming out all of the time on the brain.
Every day.
I love it.
Every day.
I love it. It wasn't like that 20 years ago. So fun. And it's accessible to all of us. We all have one, so we all get to use and learn how to use our brain to maximize our fullest potential. Now, this doesn't mean you need to be, you know, an overachiever and type A personality all day, every day. These are opportunities if you want to create a different result, you get to try something different. And the one place that I know of where all of these different great scientific-based research strategies are in one place is it's basically what John Assaroff does. That's why he created the NeuroGym, because every year throughout the year, he's committed to communicating these techniques to people to allow us to have more thriving lives, successful lives. And you kind of live like that too. I mean, you do, you've been as you said, you created your own weight loss. You eat your own hot sauces. You, you have a great, fun life. You ski. You do a good, you know, you have a wonderful wife, your dad, all sorts of great things that you have created. And I know it's not always been like this for you. You started off in a totally different place in your life.
I got into a lot of trouble when I was younger. You know, I left high school in grade 11. I got into a lot of trouble with the law. I was on the wrong train, on the wrong track, picking up speed and about to hit a wall.
Wow.
And fortunately, I got fascinated with neuroscience and neuropsychology and had some great mentors and got deeper into studying the brain and studying behavior. And once I started to discover what I was learning, what I was doing. I've written several New York Times best-selling books, and I put the best of it in Inner Size to help people. I want to share it with the world. I just happen to love the research, but I'm also the guinea pig who tries all this stuff and then teaches, you know, my students and followers around the world, you know, what to do so that they could forget about the lessons of what didn't work and just do what does work.
I think it's super important people understand that you have definitely chosen this track in life. You had chosen another one, and it wasn't going in the right direction, and you were caught. I mean, you actually had a lot of great people in your life that stepped in and saved
yeah.
you, and you have then been that to others. If we don't have mentors in our lives, we have to look outside of ourselves to create different results. And finding someone who is so dedicated, I know you wake up every day and you are so excited about people getting it, about people really understanding this incredible hidden power in our brain. Once you tap into it, it's always there. No one can ever take it away from you. That's all we really ever have.
Yeah, and the answers, you know, like I said, we have all the how-to that we will ever need for most people right now. And the key is, are you exposing yourself to making it easier for yourself, or are you committed to yourself to master disappointment over and over again?
Hmm. You might not know that, well, explain this to us, that we're actually making that choice. It might look like we're victims.
Of course you are.
To our lives, but we're actually making that choice maybe 5 or 6 or 10 steps ago, but somehow we did choose it, didn't we?
Absolutely. Listen, choosing is an action, and not choosing is an action.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, if you take action, you've made a decision, and if you choose not to, you've made a decision. And yes. So either way, you're in control.
Yes.
So either you're ready and you want to learn now, or you don't. Either you want to keep hitting your head against the wall, or you don't.
Or you don't.
Either
right.
You want to make it easier for yourself, or you don't.
Do you suggest writing things down that you want to achieve? Is that helpful?
Absolutely. Writing things down is a critical part of activating a different part of the brain. And the more parts of the brain that you can activate and get to work with you towards your goals and dreams, the more you have, you know, harmony in your brain. And so we want to activate the motivational centers of the brain. We want to activate the motor cortex of the brain. We want to activate the powerful emotions, you know, that we have to give us the fuel for taking action. There's different parts of the brain. Like I mentioned when we started, it's like a band in there, an orchestra in there. And when you get the orchestra working together and the band working together, man, oh, man, you've got harmony. It sounds great and feels great. But when things aren't in harmony, you have chaos. And we don't like the feeling of chaos. But guess what people don't recognize is we become addicted to the feelings that we repeat over and over and over again.
Mm. Mm. That's not a good combination.
That's not a good combination. So a lot of people are thinking positive, but they're experiencing and feeling negative, and they're wondering why things aren't working. And what we want to do is create a alignment, coherence, harmony in our brain so that the goals that we have and the actions we want to take and the emotions we need to muster up the courage to take it and are all aligned.
Mm, this,
and that's that's what inner size is really all about, is making it easier for yourself to take the actions that you need to take to achieve the goals you want to achieve so that your life is fulfilled and purposeful and a masterpiece that it can be.
Yes. I've been in that pattern in the past of being addicted to the cortisol, to the drama, to the adrenaline, which then produces the dopamine, and realizing you can get to the dopamine other ways.
Of course.
And you can actually create something in other ways that is so much more exciting, equally as exciting, without the crisis. So dopamine, brain loves dopamine. It's the hormone that is stimulated in the brain when something exciting or motivating or new is happening. And it can be created through drama and crisis, or it can be created through a positive experience. Again, it's a choice. Did you know that? This is one of my main epiphanies.
Yep. And again, you know, you mentioned, you know, awareness a few times. You know, awareness is what gives us choice. And choice is what can give us freedom.
Yeah. That's why the name of the show is called The Aware Show.
Yep, that's exactly right.
That's why we did it like that. Hey, thank you so much, John. You have been a mentor of mine. I always, always look forward to speaking with you. You've helped me so many times in the past where I pick up the phone and your door's open to me, and I so appreciate that. And for everyone, honestly, when I tell you that John Assaraf puts 24/7 into giving you the best tools and techniques in order to help you achieve your best life. It's so true. His book called Inner Size, you can go to his website, make it super easy for people, called ignitemybrain.com. And Ignite My Brain will give you a way to get the book and then all of these great bonuses that come with it, with brain training, mini exercise, audio, stuff that you can do on a daily basis. If you're looking for something to sink your teeth into to really help you create a new pattern, this is a wonderful way to start and to continue. And you can pick this up several times throughout the year. The brain training exercises you can get in John's world with the Brain-a-thons, all super amazing. And again, in the NeuroGym world. Thank you so much, John. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Lisa. Big hugs to you and big hugs to everybody who's paying attention to what we're talking about now. I wish you an amazing 2019 and make it happen. It's your job to make it happen.
Yes, it is. And we get to be responsible for that. So thank you again, John. And thank you to everyone who's listening and being a part of this. Take this on. Do this in a way that you get to be in the captain of your own destiny. You actually are, and you've been creating the current outcome that you have right now. So a few more tools, a lot more information, you can completely course correct or change the course of where you're going to something that you designate rather than being the victim of any type of circumstances. So tools are out there for it. It's a matter of making the choice to use them. Thank you so much for being a part of this program today. As I always say, by listening, your energy makes this show happen. I thank so much Joyce Walker, producer of The Aware Show, Gina Salvati, producer of The Aware Show, and all of the amazing engineers at KPFK and WBAI. I'm Lisa Gard. Until next time, I invite you to stay aware.